Committee, April 11th to 9 o'clock to order. Mark is going to start off by telling us about the financial report.
Okay, thank you so much. Welcome, everybody. Good morning. Unfortunately, District Secretary Amelia Wilder, who always does an amazing job during these meetings, is out today. So I'm going to be walking us through the meeting this morning, and I also want to note that General Manager Morris is not here today as she's still recovering from a recent surgery. And so going down our agenda today, we'll talk about the financial report, and these are the district's financial results through the end of March 2024. And as of March 31st, 2024, operating revenues exceeded operating expenses by approximately $37,000. Operating revenues are slightly below budget, and a lot of that is due to seasonality. We just went through about the three lowest usage months of the year. And, you know, as we keep saying every month, cost management is a huge priority for the district. And that's evidenced by the year-to-date operating expenses, which are approximately 8% below budget. So we're about 75% of the way through the year, through the end of March, and operating expenses are tracking about 8% below budget. And savings like this are important to the success of the district and ultimately will help fund capital improvement projects, build reserves, and as we're going to discuss later today, you know, manage rates. So cost management is a big part of that. And if we scroll down to the next color band, or if you look at the next color band on the monthly report there, that's the non-operating revenue section. And that's where we have property tax.
Mark?
Oh, yep.
Oh, he's doing it.
I was just sitting here.
Oh, okay.
Hey, Chris?
No, you're good, Chris.
No, it's just that you're not up with the screen.
Oh, you know, I figured everybody had this report in front of them. So
but there's,
no. There's people.
Mine's not working.
Okay.
These people might not see.
Let's see. I can put that up on the screen. So this is what we were discussing, this top section here. This is the results from operations, so operating revenues and operating expenses. And we'll talk a lot about this when we discuss the budget today. And so you can see here the results from the district's operations through March 31st this year are yielding about a $37,000 profit, net profit, so revenues over expenses, operating revenues over operating expenses.
Then surplus as opposed to profit, huh?
Yes, surplus, very good. And then this next section here is the district's non-operating revenues, and there's two items in here. One of them is the property tax assessments, and what we have in here now is just tracking to budget, which was $818,000 for the year. So this is basically 75% of the $818,000 that was budgeted. And we've talked in the last couple of months how, you know, that can be more, and it looks like it's going to be more this year. It's probably going to come in fiscal 23-24 about $889,000. And that's based on that first payment that the district gets from the county in December. And that's supposed to be a 55% of the total year payment. And basically, if we take that payment and divide it by 0.55, it comes out to $889,000. So property tax revenue is going to track a little bit better than what was in the budget, which is good. That's a good thing. But in the budget, because we don't want to rely on property tax revenue, right? So in the budget here, we have... you know, unless we have to, we have just what's in the budget. So you can see what that picture looks like. And then investment, interest in investment earnings. As you can see, this is well above what was in the budget. And you know, a lot of that is the economy has changed since that last year's budget was put in place, and interest rates on some of the district's investment vehicles are a lot better. And then the board has taken action December and January, I believe, to change up some of the investment vehicles, California class. There's a CD with Banner Bank, and both of those are bringing in really good returns. And so that you can see that impact here in this section. This next colored section here, capital contributions. This is the revenues coming in that are restricted for reserves. And so the capital replacement reserve fees, the $712,000 there roughly, that is the $14 a month reserve contribution fee that's on the water and the sewer portion of the monthly bill. The debt reserve fee, that's the $6 fee, basically just to service the debt on the water treatment plant expansion. And then water augmentation and capital improvement fees, that those monies come in from developers when they purchase connections to the system. So that's what that is. So every time a new connection is made, a developer makes a payment, and it gets split between water augmentation fund, capital improvement fund in both water and sewer, and also a very small percentage to security. And then there are security impact fees that come in as well. And the security impact fees are restricted to be used, I believe, for fixed cameras, fixed security cameras in and around the community. And just a side note here, in April, $110,000 payment for connection fees came in that'll be split between, so it's not reflected in this, but it literally came in earlier this week. Another $110,000 that'll be split between water augmentation and capital improvements, and then $9,600 for security impact fees. So I just wanted to note that, because that was a pretty significant payment that came in. And then you see here this bottom section, capital expenditures. And this has been split out between water and rate studies and capital improvements. And so the water and rate studies are the integrated water master plan, and there's a water study that's being done, and the capital improvements, that's actual property, plant, and equipment that the district would be purchasing to place into service. Any questions on the financial report?
I have one.
Sure.
Back up there under operating expenses, insurance. Can you tell me what's going on?
Oh, insurance. Very good question. So insurance, in the budget, insurance was lumped into other expenses. But it's such a large line item in and of itself, we felt that it was better to split that out separately. For some reason, it was split out in one of the funds, and it was in other expense for all the other funds. So that's why you see a small amount budgeted. But really, the rest of that is budgeted under the other expense line item. So what we've done is we left the budget the way it is, so you can always go back and match it up. But when we're recording the actual expenditures, we've moved the interest expense, so it's all reflected under that insurance expense line item.
Okay, that makes sense. I know we did that last time, but it didn't make sense to me at the time.
Okay.
It was odd. I think it was, I can't remember the reason, but.
It's you know, I prefer, if something is significant on its own, not to have it lumped into other, and then that way there's a little more visibility, so.
Okay. Steve, you got anything?
I have a few questions, actually. So, Mark, you said that right now we're running about 8% below budget on operations. Do you have projections for the various funds, if that trend continues, how much surplus we'll end up with in each fund?
Yes. So if you look here at the report, it's split across the top by all the funds.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, so you can see here right now the water fund through this part of the year, 75% of the way through the year through March 31st, in operations is running a $120,000 deficit. Okay, wastewater.
And where do I see that?
Oh, it's the very bottom.
Oh, I got it.
Yep.
Net income loss.
Yep.
Okay.
And so wastewater is $78,000 to the positive. Okay, and then across.
Okay.
Isn't that mostly attributable to the administrative allocation?
Okay, that's a very good point. So the administrative allocation, now those are real expenses, but they are being allocated to the fund. So you can see, so if we look up above, so there's kind of a dark blue, and it might be hard to see on the printed copy. It's definitely hard to tell up on the screen. But up here, and if you go right to this line item here, this bold line item, okay, this is net income loss from operations before administrative cost allocations.
Right.
So you can see how all the funds are doing before admin costs are allocated. Now, I will say, I mean, here's the admin cost, though, sitting here in the admin fund, okay? And then in this next section here, this little bit lighter color blue band, you can see this is the allocation of that admin overhead, and so that totals down to zero, and then we're allocating across to all the funds, and then this is the end result down here, the line item that we just discussed.
Right.
So you can see the before and after picture of the admin costs being allocated out.
So if we hadn't changed the allocation, water would probably be okay, but security would not be okay.
I think that we had about $200,000 or $300,000 swing. So yes, yeah. I believe you are correct in that. Yes.
You have others?
One just got addressed, and that was the impact on security. So, Mark, we also approved retroactively applying the second allocation formula. Am I correct in my assumption that as we just completed the audits for 2021, and as we complete the audits for the next two fiscal years prior to this current year, should I assume that those retroactive adjustments may have, will they have a positive effect on security reserves?
They will. Well, so what I would say is security won't be...
Or at least it won't be
deeper
as deep in the hole.
Right. It won't be as deep in the hole. Then it's going to build up a big reserve. Yes.
And when you and I talked last week, I think it was... do I remember correctly, we have something in excess of $14 million currently in our reserves?
It's more in the $12 million range. Yes. And Director Booth, you're actually, yes, if you take the 12 and then you add what we're projecting to increase in the fiscal 24-25 budget, then we're getting up to the 14.
Okay,
yeah. So it depends on what time frame you're talking about.
So right now, we've got about $12 million in the bank, essentially in reserve.
Yes.
And then as we get to the proposed budget, we'll talk about projecting additional reserve enhancements in the budget.
Yep, and we have a slide for that. We can talk about that when we do the budget.
Okay, thank you.
Sure.
I don't have any more.
Okay. All right, great. So I think we can shift gears and go ahead and talk about the budget now. Yes. Okay. Okay. All right, fiscal year 24-25 budget. And so what you're going to see today is we're going to present four different scenarios, okay? And really the operating expenses aren't changing, but in each of the scenarios, we wanted to present to the committee just different looks at what different rate increases would, and the impact that those would have on the overall budget. So you're going to see a scenario today. First, we'll talk about the expenses, but when we get into the rate section of the presentation, you'll see a presentation that has the rates as they were put out in the Prop 218 notice. And as we included on that notice, that would be the maximum possible that we would potentially put out there as far as rate increases go. And then we'll present a scenario today that's a balanced operating budget. So that operations section that we just talked about for the March financial report, this would be a budget that includes rate increases that would have all the funds being in the black, a very break even or a very small surplus from operations after admin allocations, okay? And then we'll show two different scenarios that we'll categorize as rate stabilization type scenarios. And in those scenarios, property taxes are used in part to cover operating shortfalls. So what that'll do is that will lessen the rate increases by using some of the property taxes to supplement operations. And then the thought would be, in 2 years or 3 years of smaller rate increases spread out, then we can get the district to a point where all the operations in and of themselves are breaking even or have a small surplus every year, and then we don't have to have, any 1 year with a high impact rate increase. So those will be the scenarios that we present today for your consideration. And then we'll also talk about reserves, and then we'll just open it up and have any questions or discussion. So the goals, and then we touched on this a little bit, is just that operating revenues cover operating expenses in each operational area, okay? And that's water, sewer, drainage, solid waste, and security. So that each one of those operating segments is breaking even or has a very small surplus. And the ways that we would accomplish that, and this is something that I know General Manager Morris has talked about for months, and it's a huge focus here, is cost management. And then the other side of that is also rate increases, because the district's costs do go up every year. And then obviously building reserves is a big goal for the district. And then it's just important to highlight property tax assessments revenue. That's estimated to be at $925,000 next year for the district. And just as housing prices go up and more houses sell in the community and more new houses come online and are sold, the price point now for a house that's sold in the area is a lot more than it was back in the 80s or early 90s. And so, property taxes is something that's there and is going to continue to grow and be a part of either rate stabilization or augmenting reserves or some combination of both. Okay, and so we'll talk about the district's budgetary needs. This is basically the expenses that we're budgeting for the district to operate in fiscal 24-25. And so this is more of a summary look, and it's a little easier to look at this, and then we can look at an exploded out version of each of these areas as we continue on. But overall, and so what we've got here is we've got a comparison. We've got a comparison of fiscal 23-24 budget to fiscal 24-25 proposed budget, and we're showing the change year over year and the percent change. And so the top section there, that's all funds And so we are projecting that in 24-25, the district will be cutting operating expenses by about $191,000. Okay, and that definitely highlights the efforts to save money and to be prudent with the district's money, because there's a hopefully soon to be contracted 5.5% salary increase across the board that the district is looking at next year, and interest.
Let's let them finish.
Excuse me. I noticed you're not looking at screen. Do you have paper copies of that? What he's presenting?
I have one. It was on the internet.
It was?
Yeah. It's on my computer.
I didn't see it on the internet.
Well, the
I didn't see that.
Yeah, no. The packet was attached.
I don't have that.
I don't know that I have this.
I have the board agenda.
Okay.
This is.
We can
post the presentation. These are all the same numbers of what's on online. It's just in a presentation format. Yeah. And then insurance costs are going up, benefits costs are going up. I mean, it's the same. The district faces the same challenges that any other business faces. And so then here's the administration function here is next, and we're projecting about a $260,000 savings year over year when you compare the budgets for the current year budget and the proposed budget for next year. And then this is a look at overhead allocation, okay? And so what we've done here for this presentation is we've shown the fiscal 23-24, the current year budget, with the indirect cost rate, the old one that was used in that budget, so that you can compare, the changes, okay? And then for 24-25, that is the new indirect cost rate. In there, so this is just so you can see the impact of the indirect cost rate on operations. Now, for 23-24, we'll apply the new indirect cost rate as we go forward. But I know that it's come up, the impact and the change between the two. So we have that representation here. So here's the. Water and the wastewater funds, and you can see overall the water fund, the proposed 24-25 budget is expected to be $161,000 less than 23-24, and for wastewater that is projected to be $269,000 more. And so some of the dynamics here are, as we got in and we started looking at, there's two different types of allocation going on with expenses. There is, obviously the admin overhead allocation, but then there's also an operations department here. And the operations department really works on three different areas. It works on water, it works on wastewater, it works on drainage. And so as we were going through the expenses and how they've been historically recorded, it looked like the water fund was taking on maybe a little extra expense that really could be allocated or should be allocated to wastewater and drainage. So that's part of that dynamic there. And then here you see drainage and security. And solid waste. And really the big change in solid waste, the district contracts that out with Cal Waste, and there was about a 14.5% increase in those contracted rates for fiscal 24-25, and that's the majority of that is due to the SB 1383 organic waste fee. And so that was a 3-year phase-in for that fee from Cal Waste to the district, and fiscal year 24-25 is the third and final year of that phase in. So 24-25 will be the last year that the district sees that big jump in costs for solid waste. And then starting in 25-26, the year-over-year increases there will go back to what's in the contract, which is just annual increases pegged to the consumer price index.
Mark, can you go back to water, please? So if we are reducing the year-over-year expenses for water by $161,000, I know that we're projecting a $120,000 shortfall in this year. But we're reducing the expenditures in next year's budget by $161,000 for water. Why do we need the huge rate increases that were proposed in the Prop 218 notices?
So when we go through all the different scenarios, you'll see that we definitely don't need the rate increases in the 218 notice. It's going to be something less than that, okay? And the water fund is operating at a loss right now. So the $120,000 is through the first 9 months of the year loss. And so when we get to the rate increases,
assume another $40,000 if the trend holds,
yeah,
then we're $160,000 deficit this year. We're cutting that same $160,000 in next year's proposed budget, yeah, as I see those numbers up there. Close to a wash at that point.
Well, but keep in mind, it's this year, if we stayed the same, it's a loss. So we need to make up money. So I can skip ahead.
No, let me just follow your regimen. But
yeah,
I'm just trying to sort through some of these things in my head.
Yeah, no, I totally get it, and that's a great point, and we actually will see that here. So in fact, let's just jump over to here. So this is the section here where we'll talk about the rate increases, and we'll take a look at projected revenues on those rate increases to cover the expenses that we just ran through. Okay, so this is, and there'll be four scenarios. We'll talk about the Prop 218 notice. We'll talk about this balanced operating budget scenario, which are different rate increases, less. And then we'll talk about two different rate stabilization scenarios where some of the property tax funds are used to help defer rate increases, but then cover operating shortfalls. So this is what the budget would look like if the rates were increased per the Prop 218 notice. So you can see here across the top, it's got the rate increases for each of the funds, and it's got the projected revenue, and then the operating expense with the administration overhead allocation. And then it's got a net operating income or deficit for each one of the funds. And so the Prop 218 notice was a 22% increase to base, a 50% increase to usage, and a 0% increase to the reserve contribution in the water fund. And for the wastewater fund, it was a 10% increase to the base, 0% to reserves. For drainage and security, those are set at the 2% annual increase in Measure J. For solid waste, that's basically the passing through of the Cal Waste increase, and a lot of that is driven by the SB 1383. So really, as we go through these different scenarios, you can see that each one of the funds, wastewater, drainage, solid waste, security, those as we go through these four different scenarios, those are going to stay the same. I mean, just for the purposes of this presentation. Water will be the rates that we show changing for the different scenarios. And you can see with wastewater, the 10% increase gets just a very small surplus projected for 24-25. Same with the drainage. Solid waste, that's a relatively small surplus. There could be an increase to the county surcharge. We haven't heard back on that yet, so that's not built in there to the expense side, but that's it's a pretty small surplus for solid waste. And then security has a decent surplus in there, and that's primarily due, we are saving on one management level position there going into 24-25. So you can see here, when we put out the Prop 218 notice, the rates that were in there, that would yield a pretty big operating surplus in water, okay, in the water department. The overall, and if you look down, my cursor show up on here. So if you look down the side here, these percent changes correlate to these here. Just so everybody can see that. And then you can see the overall increase on the district has about five different bill setups that could go out, but we use this one here, the residential metered lots, just as the representative example for this discussion. All of the different rate setups or the bill setups would generally follow along the same path. So we use this to represent that. But overall, it's a 15.39% increase. It's a $37.34 increase a month in the bill. Okay. Then if we look at this, what we're calling the balanced operating budget proposal. Again, these other funds stay the same. Water changes here, where we have the base increasing at 22%, no increase to reserves, and then the usage rate going up 25%. And you can see here that yields a small surplus for the water fund of $26,000 if we were to do that. And again, these are those percent changes down the side. For the overall, on average, it would be about a 12% increase in the monthly bill, and that would be about $29.36 a month. Okay, and so that would be a scenario where each fund is able to cover its operating costs with its monthly operating income, and then the district could take the projected $900,000+ of property tax revenue and use that to augment reserves.
So this scenario keeps the base increase the same as was proposed, but cuts the usage in half.
It does, yes.
Which is almost counterintuitive to me, especially as we're looking forward to the results in the Integrated Water Master Plan. It almost makes more sense to me to have a bigger increase on the usage, which may encourage conservation, than increasing the base. Just something to think about as we move forward.
Okay.
Except if we have drought.
Right.
If we have drought, then we won't make income off of the usage.
True.
I think from a financial standpoint, too, I completely understand what you're saying. I think from a financial standpoint, if you raise the base charge, then that's a little more stable stream of revenue versus if you raise the usage charge.
I understand.
Which could, okay. And then this would be the first scenario of the two that we're proposing for rate stabilization. And this would be using And you can see here basically, so each fund is its own, has to operate in a silo as its own entity, okay? So you can't say, we would not be able to say, oh, security has a surplus over here and we're gonna take some of that and we'll use it to cover the shortfall in water, okay? So each one of these funds has to operate as its own entity, exclusive of the other ones. So what we're saying here, where property tax would be used to stabilize rates, it would be any one of these that would have an operating shortfall, then you'd use that amount of property tax to cover that. So this would be taking the $925,000 of projected property tax, taking $206,000 roughly to cover projected operating shortfalls in the water fund, and then you still have $700,000 to put into reserves. So it's not necessarily an all or nothing thing, and it's actually still putting a decent amount of the property taxes into reserves. Just wanted to highlight that's how that mechanism would work. And so what this does here is this takes the base. This proposes a base increase for water of 20%. And a usage increase of 10%. Okay? And so if this scenario or a scenario like this was chosen, it would be overall, it would be an increase of 9.77%, so a little less than 10% a month increase to the bill, the monthly bill, and that would equate to about $23.72 a month increase. Okay? And then this next scenario here, this is just using more property taxes to supplement the water department in the next year, in fiscal 24-25. So this would be a base increase to the water bill of 15%, a usage increase of 10%, no increase to reserves, and or to the reserve rate, so that $14 would stay the same. And then this would, under this rate scenario, we would be projecting a operating loss of $277,000 in the water fund. And so that would take, the property tax projected at $925,000 minus the $277,000 to cover these shortfalls in water. And then the rest of that could go into reserves, so that would be 600 and some odd thousand going to reserves still from property taxes. And so then the monthly bill would increase year over year below 9%, so 8.89% increase, and that would be about a $21.58 increase to the monthly bill. And then I can open it up to discussion on these scenarios if you guys would like, or?
When I look at the budget A, with all the funds, it shows, $925,000 going to reserves. Does that need to be changed? I'm on the first page of Budget A.
Which are you looking at the one that went up online? Okay.
That.
Yeah. So yes. So you're absolutely correct. So in this presentation that went out, we just left property taxes just in that line item.
But if you go to the water, there's actually $425,000.
You're right, yes.
Or 462.
Yes, so on this presentation, you're absolutely correct. On that presentation that's out there, depending on what scenario is chosen, and then we put out the one draft based on what's picked for the rate increase, then you're absolutely right. If there is a shortfall in water, then the 925 for property tax, the amount that's needed. So under this scenario that's up on the screen, mm-hmm. $277,000 would go under the use for rate stabilization line, and then the remainder of it would be able to go to reserves, to augment reserves.
So is there a difference then if I go to water under Budget A? It says you're taking 425,000, so that's, it's somewhat different than that.
Let me pull that up, and we can talk about it. Okay, so we're looking at, I just want to see what you're looking at. Okay, stabilization A.
It says 422, 462 is going to.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Tax,
yes.
Is going.
Yes. Okay. So, just for the presentation purposes of this budget mm-hmm. here, these budgets that went out.
Mm-hmm. Can you just see that?
So that presentation where the property taxes are going is really, I would look at more as the property taxes are available to go wherever the board wants to allocate them. And so number one, cover shortfalls, and then number two, anything left over would cover reserves. And so in this presentation that we're looking at here that's out, mm-hmm. that was posted, mm-hmm. we just made an estimate of where property taxes might go. And the way that we calculated that was based on the CIP budget or the potential CIP budget and the percentage of projects mm-hmm. for 24, 25. And so it's about half and half between water and sewer. And I think there's a little bit in some of the other funds.
So that
can totally change. I mean, that.
So maybe you could tell me in another way, under the 218, we're not asking for any reserves to go anywhere except in the pot. Right?
Yes, they would go in the pot. And so here's part of the confusion, too, on that, is in the past, there was a Fund 100, and property tax sometimes would just stay in the admin fund.
Yes.
But I think a couple of years ago, there was a change with the audits and the financial statements that go out where there can't be that administrative fund anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And so all the property tax and anything in that fund has to be allocated out across the other funds. So just for this presentation that went out, we tried to take that property tax and just kind of guesstimate where it would get allocated, but it's really a pot of money that's up to the board.
Okay.
Wherever you want to put it. So I you know, that we're not proposing necessarily that that's how property tax is allocated. It'll be up to the board to take that $925,000, and then it would be, number one, use it to cover operating shortfalls, so that would be a targeted thing, and then number two, where the board would like to allocate that for reserves, the remainder of it.
So in the 218 notice, we didn't need any reserves to cover shortfalls.
Yes, that's correct.
And in the balanced budget, same thing. We don't need any.
Yes, correct.
And A, we need how much?
About 206K. 206,000, roughly.
And B, we need?
277, roughly.
Okay.
So the three scenarios I have on my packet for water rate increases are 2250, 2010, and 1510. Did you present something different up here?
You don't have a fourth scenario with mm-hmm. 1510, 15010 for water?
15-0.
That's B.
It should be property tax rate stabilization B.
Yeah, yeah. That's 1510.
Yes.
Okay, so I have three. The original is 2250. I have a 20/10 and a 15/10.
Oh, you forgot the balance.
Oh, there's a balance. There's a balanced one in there that's 22.0 and 25.
Okay. So the 2250, which is what went out on the 218 notices, how much extra revenue will that generate? Or said differently, how much extra cost is that to the ratepayer? And you had a, I think, both a total and a monthly.
It was, wasn't it that 37, 34 increase?
I think that sounds right. We're projecting how many ratepayers? Neighborhood of 2,900? Not quite that?
I think you could use that. I mean, as long as we're using the same number for all our calculations, I think we'll get somewhere in the 2,800 range.
And then the 2,225, what's that impact per month on the ratepayer?
2225 is...
That's the balanced
one. That's the balanced one, 2936. Is 2372.
That's what you're calling rate stabilization, budget A?
Budget A.
And it was how much?
2372.
And then the last one, B?
That is 2158.
Thank you.
Talk about reserves, and then we can circle back and talk more about the rates. Or do you want to just keep the rates?
Why don't you? You want to talk about it now, or you want to let them finish?
Just
finish your presentation, and we'll go back to where we're.
Sorry for derailing you.
No. This is
a method to my madness. But
That's great. Okay, so the reserves. So this is what the reserve picture is looking like for fiscal 24-25. And again, we talked about this a little bit in the monthly financial report, but this is how the district brings in reserve funding or dedicated reserve funding. So we've got the reserve contribution there. That's the $14 a month on the water and wastewater bills. Then we have fees coming in. They're connection fees, but those connection fees, that's when a new lot is hooked up to the district services. And so those connection fees are split between water augmentation and then, so these are restricted purposes or restricted uses for the connection fees. Water augmentation, capital improvements in water, capital improvements in sewer, and a small percentage of capital improvements in security. And then there are security impact fees, and then we also have here interest and investment earnings, generated on restricted funds, okay?
Is that water number 851 and change?
891.
891.
Yep.
And wastewater 722 and change?
Yes. Okay, and then
total of 1.6 for all.
Yep, 1.6 coming in. So this is a picture of what's in the bank now. Okay? And we've talked about the reserve balances, and we have reserve balances, and those are out there on the 6/30/21 financials, okay, for all the different buckets of money and the restricted purposes, of which there are many across the five funds. And it's really difficult to give the board an accurate picture, and we're working on trying to come up with a good roll forward for that to give an estimate of what's in each bucket, but there's a lot that goes into it, and there's a lot of data to pull together for the last basically 3 years to get an estimate rolled forward. But what I can give you and what I can tell you is these are the balances in the bank. And you know, this money market account, this is really the district's operating account. So this was put in here is like an average, maybe a conservative average amount. This fluctuates all the time because the district pays its bills and takes deposits and everything else in this account. But these three accounts here, and I have a split out balance of those here, these don't really get touched ever, right? So this is what you could consider the district's reserves, right? The district operates out of this account, if that makes sense. The district operates out of this account day to day. These are, you know, three accounts that are just there really to earn interest, and the district isn't dipping into these unless on a day-to-day basis.
Unless we spend it on a project.
Unless the district spend it on like a big project, right. So this is where, Director Booth, where we talked about there was the 12.5 roughly,
right.
And then if we added the 1.6 projected to come in fiscal 24-25. So I hope, while it's not the specific numbers of what's in all those buckets, that to get to that being a couple of years behind on the accounting is difficult, and I wouldn't want to misinform you, but again, we're working on coming up with an estimate for that. But this gives you an idea. I mean, this is what's in the bank, so this is real
so
dollars.
What I understand you'd be saying to us, and I think you said it twice, I think I understand it, overall we got about $12.5 million in the bank that we could call total reserves for the district. How much is in each one of the five funds is yet to be determined as we complete the audits from the prior years.
Yes, and we're yes, absolutely correct, and we're working on a roll forward where we could give you a good estimate of what you have to spend, right? And so I would say in the absence of for fiscal 24-25 saying, oh, we're going to spend all $13 million of it on projects next year. I mean, if you were going to spend a couple million, I think the estimate that we could give you, you would be fine and you wouldn't be overspending what's available in each bucket. Okay, so we could still operate and get the job done while we continue to work to get you the correct and exact numbers.
And based just on the $14 that is dedicated for reserves in each, the water and wastewater rates, next year that'll generate a projected $891,000 for water, $722,000 for wastewater reserves.
Yes, correct. And that's the $14, which is here. Mm-hmm. That's the connection fees, which that's new lots getting connected to the system, and then that's interest and investment earnings on those monies sitting in the reserve funds. So these are pretty conservative estimates for the budget next year. I mean, these are getting pretty good interest right now. The Banner CD is really 5.75, and Camp and Class are 5.5%, or roughly there. This money market is maybe 5.25% to 5.5%. But interest rates could change, and we, you know, the last thing we want to do is overestimate what we're going to have in this. But the board has done a good job getting these into some healthy, very stable and safe investments. So, and that's it. This is stuff we've talked about already. Is just, you know, each operational area operating in the black and grow those reserves. And we talked about cost management. We looked at 4 different scenarios for potential rate increases. We talked about how property tax can be used a couple of different ways. You know, obviously to augment the reserves as much as possible, but it can also be used as a tool to stabilize the rates or to phase in rate increases to get to that goal of each fund operating in the black every year. And, you know, right now interest rates are high, as you're seeing. So, you know, I think we saw, you know, interest overall. I mean, there's interest that we're projecting to be on the restricted monies, but then there's also interest on monies that are considered unrestricted. So we're talking about $500,000 a year coming in on interest. So, I mean, that's having a healthy reserve balance is a good thing. You know, that grows and can help. And capital projects, I would say, you know, you're going to see a CIP list, and, you know, that's kind of like just a comprehensive list for the next, you know, these are all the projects that are on the horizon, but, you know, I would say, and that list, I believe, will be prioritized for you, you know, on what's the most essential thing, and there may be things in there that could be used to cut costs. You know, I mean, sometimes upgrading equipment or putting some new system in place can actually save money on that operating line. So those would just be some considerations when we discuss that CIP list.
So the 218 numbers assume no property tax transfer?
No. All the property taxes go to reserves.
Okay.
Yes.
And the same can be said of the balanced budget proposal?
Yes.
And then with stabilization budget A, how much money would need to be allocated from property tax for that option?
$206,000. $205,744.
And how much for stabilization budget B?
$277,176 would be projected. Into my presentation. So if you guys want to open it up and discuss.
A couple of questions before
Sure. We
talk about recommendations. Are we planning on any capital improvement projects that need operating money that the budget has to satisfy?
Oh, okay. Are we anticipating any capital improvement projects that need operating money from the budget to fund it? Last year we had a whole pile of money in there.
Well, because they were commingled.
Yes.
Yeah. So I think last year some of that was some of the studies.
Yes.
I think there was about $600,000 of studies in the 23-24 budget that were in there.
There was a lot.
Yeah, so I'm looking at this draft list, and I don't see anything that says coming out of operating.
Okay. Second question was regarding security. What staffing are we proposing with regard to security in these budgets?
So this budget isn't proposing anything new from the state as far as the security staffing from the state that we're in now, which is we have the gates covered 24/7, both gates, and we have a patrol sergeant and two patrol officers. So I believe that's three patrol mm-hmm. folks down, that those positions have just been left open, and then no security director.
So essentially, we cut the costs of a director, Kelly's.
Right, and so you're seeing kind of that offset between the director positions going away, but then that security has probably the second most personnel right after the operations department, which covers three funds. And mm-hmm. so you're seeing the one salary going away, and then but you're seeing the 5.5% contracted increase across several employees, and then all the increases to, you know, benefits and everything
but
else.
But we also reallocated a significant amount of the administrative overhead cost out of that fund.
We did. We reevaluated the way that indirect costs were being allocated across the organization, correct.
But it puts us in a more dire position about keeping the gates open with only three patrols when we essentially had four before.
Right. So in the past, not in the past, I mean currently if one of the gate officers can't come in to their shift, if they're the easiest way to cover that shift, there's two ways to cover it. Ask the person that's sitting in there before that other person's shift starts to stay late.
The holdover.
Yeah. Call the person on the shift after and ask them to come in early, or call to the person that's out on patrol and say, hey, we need to flex you over to the gate and cover the gate. So that's how it's set up to work.
So we're at minimum staffing now for the gates?
There are enough people on staff to fully cover the gates 24/7, and then we have one part-time person. We are onboarding another part-time person starting, I believe their training is starting next week. And then we have a third part-time person that we just extended an offer to, and they're in backgrounds right
now.
And
are those part-time positions, Mark, essentially used to cover vacation and other time off for the full-time officers?
That's correct.
So we're at minimum staffing in terms of permanent staff, and then we employ the three part-time staff to cover absences.
Absolutely correct, yes. Okay.
So is that in the budget, the part-timer?
Well, so what's in the budget is 24 times 365 times 7 times 2 gates and times the rate that it costs.
Yeah.
So that's what's in the budget. And then, yes, so enough staffing to cover the gates 24/7, 365, both of them is budgeted for.
Except to, if you have to call upon the part-timers, you're still paying the full-timers, right? So there's extra money in there.
Right, but there's a sick time factor budgeted in and a vacation factor budgeted in. You're absolutely correct, though. Yes.
Okay. I think we're kind of in a limbo right now with regard to security because we're trying to see what RMA wants to do. But I'm just concerned that with fewer patrols that we might not be able to man those gates. But if we're successful in getting some part-time people, then maybe that's not such an issue. Is that the way you see it?
Well, they're kind of a, I would say that the part-time folks, they are, I mean, you're not going to make a living off of being a part-time person, right? It's going to be somebody maybe that's a student and just wants to make some extra money, maybe somebody that has
a retiree, a
full-time job, right, and looking for some extra money, or a retiree and looking for some extra money, but it's an on-call situation. Now, we do the schedule several weeks in advance. I think we're doing 6 weeks out, and so there's a lot of notice when folks are going to take planned time off.
Mm-hmm.
And the part-timers get a decent amount of notice, like, hey, we're going to slot you in on these days. So having a good bench, so to speak, of part-timers, on-call part-timers is definitely a help. I would say it's not as reliable as if you have somebody driving around out on patrol and you can just call them and say, hey, I need you to go over to the gate between this time and this time, because they're already here working and you can send them over there. So,
okay. Mark, what does it cost to fund a security officer position for a year?
Let's see.
Lieutenant Patrol?
Well, it's the same. Gator Patrol are paid the same, aren't they?
Is that true?
I think there's a different scale. Let's see.
So patrol is higher?
Yes.
So what does it cost to fund a patrol?
Well, officer? I don't want to make that blanket statement. I think the range is higher, but depending on how long you've been here.
Right.
But a patrol officer with benefits and everything in there.
Right, fully loaded.
Fully loaded. I think you could estimate between 92.5 and 104. So basically 93 to 104, 105.
Annual.
So that's fully loaded, though. That's base salary plus benefits. And
well, that's the only way to calculate it.
Yep.
What's that worth to a resident? What do you divide by to see what that's worth in your bill?
We could divide it by 2,900.
Mm-hmm. In 12?
Yeah, let's see.
$2.99.
Okay.
Okay, that answers my question.
Well, no more questions. I have some thoughts whenever you're ready, Martin, if you want to go first.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
So, as I expressed previously, Mark, when you and I met, and I've kind of hinted at today, and I've actually put out into the community, it seems somewhat counterintuitive to me to see the significant increases in rates that were proposed in the 218 notices while dedicating $1.6 million in reserves based on the commitments that we made several years ago, as well as leaving the entire $925,000 projected property tax money to go into reserve. It's counterintuitive to me not to use some of that property tax for operating expenses to reduce the overall amount of the rate increases, and because we're building those reserves and we're going to build them with what we have in place, kind of hardwired, if you will, at the $14 and $14. And so I'm inclined to take a look at a portion of that property tax money and plug it into our operating budget, one, to mitigate against the overall cost of the rate increase, and potentially two, as we just discussed, to staff an additional patrol officer. I think we could do both of those things and still set aside at least $500,000 in property taxes to go into reserves, which would mean we were placing over $2 million next year into reserves. If we were to take the 1.6 and half, which leaves us roughly $400,000 to use for operating expenses, and gosh golly, $277,000 for Plan B and $104,000 for a patrol officer, and we're there. I mean, just thinking out loud, that makes more sense to me, and the consequence of that would be a nearly $16 a month lower rate increase than what was projected in the Prop 218 notices, which I think I will share, as Gail and I talked about briefly as I stepped in. Protest talk has already started. Documents are already being circulated. And I'm not responding to that per se, because I had these thoughts when the 218 notices were being discussed, you recall, at the last board meeting. I just said,
yes.
It's counterintuitive to set all this money aside and raise the rates this amount. So I think we find that balance point, and I'm prepared that to recommend that we go with stabilization plan B and authorize the hiring of an additional patrol officer in this next budget and use $400,000-ish from property tax to do that, leaving the other $500 and change to go into reserve. And I'd like to make that recommendation to the board when we meet on the budget.
Proposals you gave us, I'm actually in favor of this balanced budget. It's because the board's goals have always been to increase reserves because they're woefully too low. And if we keep taking money away from where it should be going, which is reserves, we're going to find us still woefully low. And we've got projects sitting there that need to be done and need to be paid for by reserves, and might not be there when we have to do those projects. So my proposal is to use the balanced budget, but in reality it's the board's decision. And
if I recall correctly, Mark, the audit we looked at for 2021 reflected reserves just shy of $8 million.
I can pull it up real quick, but I think it was 7.9.
It was high 7.
In change.
High
7. 7.9, yes.
Just short. So actually, Martin, we've grown the reserves in the last three fiscal years.
Yeah, but
And my proposal would grow it by another $2 million. Or please put $2 million into it for 2024-25.
Have you ever looked at the reserve study? Then we're going to get another one from this rate study that we're doing. That our percent funded is really, really low. And reducing the amount we put toward that is going to keep it low. So,
I guess we need to see those numbers at the next discussion, Mark.
No, we're not going to get those rate studies for a while, but we did a reserve study not too long ago with a different vendor, and it was woefully low, in the 20% range. So, and we were trying to get it up to 60% once upon a time, and we couldn't even do that. But
so. What was the assumption in terms of the amount of reserve that was needed at that time?
Well, they took everything that needed to be replaced and put a useful life and a cost to it, and you would see how much was in there versus how much you need. That was the basis of it. And secondly, you had to make sure that you never fell below zero.
Well, I understand that, and you obviously, ideally, would not draw more than you're putting into reserves if you're trying to build it. But I mean, just building a reserve just for the sake of building a reserve is not a worthy undertaking to me. Building a reserve because we have anticipated costs that we're going to have to meet, I think, is the key. And again, it sounds like we're operating with less than full information moving forward. It'd be nice to know what our projected capital outlay will be for the coming fiscal year. Do we have a number in that regard, Mark?
Well, I do have a list that's gonna be put out. This is a draft, but this is proposed projects. Now, all of these, I mean, there's, I mean, it would be unrealistic to think that all of these would have to be done or that they could even possibly be done in 1 year, but this is the project list that's out there, and it's $8.2 million. Now, this, you know, I think Michael could probably speak a little more detail on these specific projects and their timing and their urgency or prior or not urgency, right? But this is the full list of projects that have been discussed and that there's a, you know, estimated cost for, and that at some point in time would get done. I mean, and there's things on here that I know are underway, like the Granley safety improvements, okay? And then there's a couple of projects on here that I, just going back, looking at several years of budgets in the past, I've seen some of these projects on here for several years. So I don't...
Those are projects that, some are improvement type projects.
Yeah.
Some maybe replacement type projects.
We've got that chlorine, the bleach replacement, yeah. That's been on here for several years. Yeah. And that adds up to the wastewater side of that is...
But they don't necessarily address the fact that a bunch of infrastructure needs to be replaced in the future.
Okay, and that's what's going to come out of the study, correct? The Lumos?
Right.
Yes. So, right. So that's...
In 2022, when the board was considering pretty significant rate increases, probably on a par with what was proposed here in the 218 notices, the rationale that was being discussed by staff and the board was specifically to build the reserves. And I recall, and I think it was Michael, who was the district engineer at that time, saying that even if we raised all of that money, we wouldn't be able to perform more than two, three, maybe four of those projects in a year's basis. And I'm assuming that the same is true. Now, it doesn't account for something that just totally breaks, as Martin just discussed, it has to be replaced.
Right.
We have no choice.
Emergency.
Other stuff we can sort of schedule and sort of plan. But I just think we need to be very careful about asking the ratepayers to come up with a huge rate increase per month just to set that money aside if it's not for a specific purpose and a specific time frame. I understand the need as this infrastructure is aging, you know, to continue to build reserves if we can, but I point out over the last 3 years, we've increased those reserves by over $4 million. And we've had projects ongoing during those 3 years as well. So I think there's a delicate balancing act here. But I just think we need to be very careful. I mean, the last thing I want to see is us have a protest and not be able to implement any increase because we were, I can't find the right word.
So just to throw out, just to throw something out there, because it's, I see the two different perspectives, and definitely, right, it's a balancing act between, you know, funding the day-to-day operations, building reserves, keeping the rates at reasonable levels for the ratepayers and providing services, right? So is there, just to open up for you guys to talk about, and I think, Director Booth, you mentioned this about this is an amount that we would still add to reserves under a plan using some of the property tax to stabilize the rates. And Director Paul, I know that it sounds like the reserves and really building that is a priority. So is there an amount that, and even if you guys want to discuss this, but I mean, would it make sense to have an amount that you guys talk about that's like, hey, this is a goal amount every year to add to reserves. And then as long as that goal is being hit, or that dollar amount is being hit, then that opens up to maybe more flexibility with some of the discretionary money, like the property tax funds. Does that make sense? To set a, hey, this is our goal to add to reserves every year. And
so what's our annual operating budget?
It is
up to 11 million?
No, well, so that number was in last year's budget because it had a bunch of, this is it right here. So 9 million.
What's this? You said earlier that we're not using any operating money to go to CIP. Is there in your CIP a proposal to replace filters? We had that issue come up this year that we bought one.
The cassette.
Yep. And there's a need to buy more cassettes in the future.
Yeah.
Is that in the CIP?
So it wasn't in the original CIP budget. It was an expense item that came up during the year.
Yeah,
the board did approve using replacement reserve funding to cover the cost of those.
But is there anywhere where we're considering future cassette purchases, either the operating or the CIP?
I don't see it on this list. But that would be something that could come out of the replacement reserve funds.
Yeah, it could.
Yes.
So maybe.
And that's probably the appropriate.
And that doesn't show up on the CIP.
It isn't on any actual CIP budget because it happened after the budget was approved. But if we put out like a revised one,
I mean,
for last year.
On the new list.
Oh, for this one? I don't think it is on here.
Because there was some.
If it is, I'm not sure what project it's on.
There was some sort of plan discussed at the time we bought that cassette that we need to be planning for more cassettes in the future.
To have them on hand, because I think there's a long lead time to get those in.
Right, because we bought a cassette to get us by, and at some point in time we got, in at some interval, we need to keep buying them to. Make sure we don't get in a bind, but maybe you could ask Mike about that.
So if we were to put the $1.6 million that's already dedicated to reserves and $600,000 from the projected property tax, that doesn't even include any surpluses that we might experience this year, the $81,000 on extra property. If we just were to take that 1.6 and 600,000, that's $2.2 million going into reserves next fiscal year, which represents 24% of our operating budget cost. That seems to be an extremely high percentage to me, and more than ample, and we could do that with Plan B. I mean, worst case, I would support Plan A. It's only $2, less than $2 a month more, or a little over $2 a month more. But I just, we can put an equivalent of 24% of our operating budget into reserves next year and still only have to see a $21 increase in rates and fund an additional patrol position.
It doesn't seem like we're going to have an agreement on the recommendation, but maybe...
No, I think you're right.
Maybe we could recommend that we reduce the budget below the current Prop 218.
I could propose two scenarios. Would you like me to propose the two scenarios?
I don't think you have to propose it anymore. I think it's up to the board to decide these issues, but...
Okay.
But if we had some consensus, it's a consensus that we want to drop below the 218. Is that true?
Well, I think that was, yeah, absolutely. I think that was actually said when we discussed the 218. At that time, I think Mark projected, hey, we know these numbers are high. We've already are looking at some lower numbers, but we want to be cautious and put out the highest number. I just think if we don't take action quickly to announce a different rate increase than what's floating out there, then I think we're dealing with a protest. And I'd like to avert that if we can. And I think we can do that without adversely affecting our ability to build reserves at a reasonable rate.
Isn't this these proposed budgets going to be on the agenda for April 17th?
Yes, they will be.
So it's not like that's just a week away, right?
Right.
So. Let the board decide.
Okay. I could, if you want, I could, and I don't know, I mean, I feel like if you've narrowed it down to, if you've excluded any options, I could present on less options and just have it take less time. And then you could, like, for instance, if the two of you agree to not put forward the 218 rates, that scenario, then am I correct that you could then put out there to the community that that's not on the table anymore, that it's only these three potential?
Maybe we could do that, Steve. Say that.
Well, I mean, I think we can. I mean, you're proposing, Martin, the balanced approach, which I think, I mean, we know we can safely do and still not have to transfer any of the property tax. I like another option, but I don't know how much traction that gains us in the public eye, but,
What if we told the board we recommend they're either balanced or A? And let them decide. Then he has a smaller presentation.
I can live with that. Okay. I can live with that. I already said I can live with A.
Okay.
You're proposing balanced, so that gives us, you know, the committee saying, hey, we like these two options better than the other two.
Okay.
Like I said, it's a couple bucks a month.
Although I think we still ought to have a discussion about security.
Well, I think so, too, but I think we can do that in the context of the budget, don't you?
Correct.
Yeah. Or do you want to make a recommendation now?
No, I just said we need to have that in the as a thought for the board.
And Mark, we're not projecting to hire a security chief the next fiscal year?
It's not in there, no. I think the thought was to, I mean, every option's on the table. I think the thought was to try to flatten out that organization and just have more of the money go towards customer safing or customer facing services, right? Like just as many of the dollars as possible going
adding
to
a patrol
service.
Officer, right. I think would be a good thing. We can talk about it budget time.
Okay.
Richard, do you want to discuss the budget or you want to discuss something else?
I want to discuss what you're talking about right now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
It's okay. I agree with you 100%. You need to come up with something that is lower than Prop 218 notice. I got the notice all over the place in here in big, bold, red letters. It said the actual rate increases may be less than, but in no case more. You know, each time I read that, I rolled my eyes and, yeah, sure, right, you're going to do that. And, you know, if it's less, hey, it sure relieves a lot of my bad feelings about CSD. I mean, you know, usually, I mean, this will be different from anybody else. They have a possibility of raising it this high. You think they're going to raise it less? No. But if you go ahead and actually raise the rates less than the maximum, that certainly engenders a lot of good feelings for me. Great. Well, so I really recommend that. And I think raising it to the maximum would be the biggest mistake you could make.
But so. You understand the logic behind that, don't you?
Oh, yeah. I understand the need for reserves and all that.
No, the logic of estimating an absolute max and then coming down from it.
Yeah, I understand that.
Okay.
But,
all right.
You know, has there ever been a Prop 218 notice where the rates have been lower than then I don't think so.
There was a proposal to do that when the Prop 218 was rejected.
Right.
Well, that's because it was rejected.
The proposal never got anywhere.
I think that year, had we had this kind of discussion at the same point in time, and the community was made aware, hey, this is the max, it may well come in less than that, maybe that would have had a positive effect and reduced the likelihood of a protest, which is exactly why I wanted to get out there early. Yep. Because even when we discussed the 218 notices last month, we knew we already had Vigorish. And I think what the board already knew, we're not going to come in at that high a rate. The question is, how much lower can we afford to take it? And I think that's the crux of this discussion now, and I appreciate your comments.
I don't think that would have worked back then.
Yeah, it might not have.
I mean, no,
there was so much other context then, you're probably right.
Yeah. I saw no possibility that the rates would have actually been lower.
Yeah.
Now, maybe they will be. So.
Yeah.
But that's my
thoughts. Thank you, Richard. Appreciate your comments.
We came to a recommendation on the balance for A.
Right.
But I was hoping that we could have in that discussion at least your cost that you suggested, what it costs to add the patrol. Could you just put that in there someplace so people know it?
Yeah. Would you like me to do a three scenarios, balanced and A as presented today, and then then I could do balanced or A with the security added?
My opinion is if the whole board thought that we needed another patrol, all they'd do is say allocate some property tax toward that, and you don't need another scenario.
So if you, I will say, so the patrol officer, fully loaded, we're estimating between 93 and 105, roughly, right?
Yeah.
I thought you said 104.
Or 104. I'm just rounding, but it's 92,545 to 103,769. But if you look here, and this is the same.
I think it's real simple. If the board were to adopt the balanced budget, which currently requires no transfer of property tax money for operating costs, then they would have to allocate $104,000 maximum for an extra patrol agent.
Well, if you look at security without any of that, with just the 2% and no property tax, there's a surplus in security of 119. So I don't know that you would have
on the balance budget?
On all of them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, really?
Yeah. So security's showing a 119,934 projected surplus.
Then just tell us what the cost is.
Then Plan B only costs us less than $300,000 out of property tax.
Yes. Is that
that would be Plan B would cost you
$277,176.
Yeah. So if you just highlight those two things, the cost and
I'll add that in. Yep.
Yeah, I definitely think that we need to recommend to the board that we hire an additional patrol officer. And it appears the money's there under any of these scenarios, largely because we're leaving the top salary position vacant and we reallocated a significant portion of the overhead.
Right.
Which also accounts for about almost 7% of the operating costs for water, if I recall correctly. That transfer, properly allocating the administrative support to water, accounts for about 7% of that operating budget. So a significant percentage of the proposed rate increases is to do exactly what the public asked us to do, reallocate the overhead costs. Now, I think they thought they were just going to disappear or something, reading some of the social media stuff I read the last couple of days. It's like, no, it's not going to disappear, as Martin projected when we had this discussion. It's going to go from this hand to that hand. But I think it's a good move, and I supported it wholeheartedly. So I've said this more than once, and I'm having trouble convincing people in the public sometimes. I'm really encouraged by what we're seeing, Mark, with what you and Mimi are doing in terms of cost savings, what we're producing in terms of regular budget reports, and really the overall financial situation of the district is better than I think a lot of us thought it was going to be based on the one audit we have completed, the fact that we've got $12.5 million in reserve, which has increased significantly since the last report. That all being said, that's why I think we need to really be conservative in terms of how much more we ask the public to pay right now. Need to ask them for some more, but I think we have to be conservative. And I've said more probably than I should have today.
Okay. What's this business about automatic billing on the agenda? Somebody threw that in.
I'm not 100% sure what that item is. I would say
Mimi was probably going to report on.
Yeah, we can maybe table that
our progress
until the next one. Yeah.
Okay. Do we have any other comments from the public?
I heard two property tax figures projected for next year. You first said something like $889,000. But then you're using $925,000 on the budget, which is it?
Okay. Do you want me to feel
yes.
bad? Or?
Yeah.
Okay. So, Gail, thank you for that. So, the 889 is fiscal 23-24, a current year number.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, that was originally budgeted for this current fiscal year at 818, and it looks like it's going to come in around 889 based on the December payment we received. And then the 925 number is for fiscal 24-25 budget year.
Misunderstood. Thanks.
No, no problem.
This is a question on automated billing that you're not talking about. Why does it cost $4 to process a credit card payment? Is that Tyler or something like that?
It's the service fee the credit card company charges us.
Yeah, it's a layered fee. There's a couple of different companies. I think Tyler charges a certain amount, and then the credit card company that they use to facilitate those payments has a fee. So yeah, so that's why the ACH, if and hopefully we're building confidence in the public and folks don't want to use the ACH because that does not come with a fee.
Okay. I paid my cell phone bill credit card. They automatically charge it. They're not charging me $4.
You know, and it really varies, Richard, because I recently did something through DMV online.
Oh, yeah.
They charge me a 3%.
Yeah.
And some of the retail vendors are now starting to add a service charge. And they'll ask you, credit or cash?
Mm-hmm.
And if you're paying cash, then they recalculate the bill. So
yeah.
I think it's a real mixed bag right now. My argument has been, ultimately, I think the credit card charge saves time and money in terms of staff
mm-hmm.
time
yeah.
and having to deposit at the bank and et cetera, but the $4 charge seems kind of steep, but it's down from what it was.
Especially if it's every month, like
yeah.
my DMV, I'm going to pay
it's once a year, right?
Yeah.
Exactly.
But there's no way I'm going to let CSD go into my bank every month and take out money. I mean, I pay my credit cards, you know, ACH, but I pull the trigger. You know, I go into the credit card's website and I pay it by a direct payment from my bank. But I'm not going to let CSD go in and grab it.
I'm in the same place you are. I'm still writing a check every month.
Yeah. And, you know, people have complaints about their payments. And by the time CSD gets the money, hey, go talk to somebody else.
Yeah, there's still some bugs to work out,
yeah.
I think, aren't there, Mark?
There are, and it's something that we're really working hard on, and I definitely appreciate the comment and the feedback, and, you know, it's customer service is the number one priority here, and, you know, and
yeah.
even more, and we talk about cost cutting all the time, but customer service, I mean, that's so important because we need to earn the trust of the public back, and hopefully we get that soon, and, you know, then maybe folks will want to explore doing the ACH again,
yeah.
and because it will save money. You won't have the fee if you do the ACH.
Well, I heard last week from an individual who had a glitch on the automatic payment, and she was overcharged, and the credit came back five or six times what the value was. So clearly we still have some bugs to work out. And this person, I won't tell you who it is, but there's not a more credible person living in this community than this individual. Retired Superior Court judge.
Yeah. Yeah, we're working through some bugs on it, but it's something that we're actively working on.
Yeah. I know with no matter how much trust there is, I'm reluctant to have anybody go into my bank account and take money out. And you know, and I'm not going to pay $4 a month for a credit card, so I'm going to keep on writing the check. So anyways, that's my thought.
Okay. Steve, you got any further comments?
No, sir. Thank you.
My only comment is I like what you presented to us. I'm glad you gave us options. And it was understandable. So thank you.
Thank you very much.
So we're adjourned.
Okay. Thank you guys very much.